I was thinking while the brother was preaching on how great the Lord is. There's probably not, well, there probably is, but I was sitting there thinking about all the great things that I've seen happen in my lifetime just in my family. 11 children. I thought of the oldest one. I remember one time me and Paul was up in a tree. It had been raining. It was about 15 feet up, and he slipped, and he fell, and he was headed head first. He stuck his hands out, and he landed on his hands. It broke both arms right there. About 2 days later, he went to the doctor. We prayed about 15 minutes before he went to the doctor. Paul was hurting bad. He cried from the time that he hit the ground until the time that the Lord touched him. But I very well remember it. Oh, God's been great. I thought about a time when I was riding my bicycle, and I loved to ramp. The higher the ramp, the better it was. And I had one time that was about 6 feet high, and I hit that ramp going as fast as that bicycle would go, and it flipped, and that handlebar turned sideways, and it caught me right here in the jaw when I hit the ground. I wore a jaw about like that for about 2 weeks, but it could have went somewhere else. I'm telling you, God's been good to me. I thought about Joseph when he was about 11, 12 years old. He had seizures. We didn't take him to the doctor, but we found out later on that it's just because he was in a growing, in a change of his life. But I remember one time, Mama was holding him. She was weeping. She was crying. There was not a thing in the world she could do for him but hold him and pray. His eyes rolled back in his head. And all of a sudden, Jesus came by and touched him. He come out of that seizure just like that. I'm telling you, he hadn't had another one since that one. He had several before it, but he hadn't had another one since that time. There's several other children in between this one. But I remember a time I was carrying the youngest girl, Melody. She's 9 years old. I was carrying her through the house one day. And Mama didn't see me, and she backed up, and she stepped like that, and I tripped. And all my weight fell right with her, and she hit her head with all my weight going down with her. Her eyes rolled back in her head. Her eyes were set. Her face was pale. She was going. I remember Mama got on the phone. She called Grandpa and Grandma Sanders and said, "Pray." That's the only word she said. Hung up the phone. She turned around and called two others and said one word. Pray. Mama felt like laying her down on the bed and turned around and walked out of the room, said, "There's nothing we can do." We walked out. We went in the living room. We prayed for about 15 minutes. Mama walked back in the room, and she was laughing. Now tell me God's not great. There's not a person in this world that could tell me God's not great, because I could look them right back in the eye and tell them that they're nothing but a liar, because God has been so great to the Snow family. He has been so great to me. I ought to worship Him for the rest of my life. I owe Him so much praise. Oh, how God has been so great. God has been so great to me. You know, we get so discouraged sometimes because we face just a small obstacle. And the devil blinds us, and we don't see the things that God's done for us. All we see is the thing that we're facing. Just before we started to leave for church, about 20 minutes before 4, I had been laying down taking a nap. I got up and cleaned up and got ready, and I walked out. We had a flat tire on our vehicle. And I walked back in, and I told my wife, I said, "We've got a flat." And she said, "Well, what are we going to do?" I said, "Well, the spare isn't good enough to drive to Texarkana on. Mama and Daddy wasn't home yet, so we couldn't use their vehicle." And I walked out of the house, and I was walking around the house and praying, and I just kept looking down towards down towards Mom and Daddy's. I can see their house from mine. Their van hadn't pulled up. About 5 minutes before 4, I walked in, and I walked into the house, and I was picking up the phone. I was going to call Brother Shad and say, "I just can't make it tonight." And Mindy said, "Why don't you call their cell phone and see where they're at?" So I called them, and Dottie answered the phone. I said, "Where are you at?" She said, "We're at the house." I said, "All right, I'll call you on the on your home phone. So I hung up and I called them. I told Daddy, I said, we got a flat on our vehicle. Can we use yours? He said, yep. God just answers prayer, doesn't he? He's so great. You know, that's just very small. I mean, the things I've said tonight, though they may seem in a human's eyes, they may seem great. That's just barely anything compared to what God has done. And the things that God has done is just barely anything compared to what God can do. I mean, God hasn't done, he's not maxed out yet. And you ain't going to max him out. You can't put a limit on God. There just is no way. Thank you, Lord. This afternoon, as I was praying, I felt this message burdening my heart. A couple weeks ago, the 1st of August, the first weekend in August, I teach the teenagers class there at our church, and two of the young men said to me, they said, why don't each one of us take a day, each day a week, and fast for souls? I said, okay, we'll do that. We each took a designated day. And we done that the whole month of August. The Lord started quickening on my heart this message. And I've been praying about it, studying on it, and thinking about it since then. And this last night when Brother Shad asked me if I could make it to the youth service, I told him I would try, and the Lord quickened this message to preach this message to the young people here tonight. You know, in the day and age that we live in, the fight, it gets harder and harder and harder every day, it seems. I'm a young person still, just 21 years of age. I'm not out of the devil's reach yet. I was praying for the young people of the church, and turn with me in your Bibles to Haggai chapter 2. This may be different than what the service has been going, but the Lord laid this on my heart, so I know it's His will for me to preach it. Haggai chapter 2, verse 3, and then skipping to verse 20. It says, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Verse 20. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots, and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. What can be done when God chooses? It's all said and done when the choice is made by God. You know, we have a good group of young people here tonight. And the burden on my heart for the young people in our church was, Lord, choose them. And choose me to be your instrument. You know, the Lord has blessed me. I can play a few instruments. Can't play any of them very good, but I can play a few instruments. And when I decided that I wanted to play the guitar, I didn't go pick up a mandolin. When I decided that I wanted to play a guitar, I didn't go buy a lesson book to learn how to play the piano. I went and I got me a guitar book. I got me a guitar and I asked some people that played the guitar to show me how to play the guitar. When the Lord wants us to do something, He don't look at the outside and make the inside something different. He's gonna take you. Now I'm talking about a. This message that the Lord gave me. I know there may be some young people here that's lost. If you are, I hope you get something out of this message that would quicken your heart to come to know the Lord. But when the Lord gave me this message, I was thinking about young people that are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and looking for something to do for the Lord. You know, when the Lord sees a humble heart and someone that wants to do something for Him, He's not going to take you and make you something that you can't be. Never, ever will that happen. I don't know how many of y'all know this, but it's no secret. I'm not trying to keep it secret. My wife and I, the Lord called us to be missionaries. And as God leads us, that's what we're going to do. But until He opens the door, we're satisfied doing what He wants us to do. But we're not incapable of being missionaries in a foreign field. There might be someone here that is, and He's not going to call you to do that. I don't want to get off track here, but I just want to follow the Lord. But tonight, in this service, God is wanting to choose young people to be leaders for Him. I am totally convinced that He is not through choosing tonight. He didn't make His last choice when He chose me to be a preacher and to be a missionary for Him. No, He did not. And I feel like there is still young people today that want to do a work for Him. I know that there is. I know that there is. You say, well, go out on Friday night on the town. Well, God can save them too, and they've got a heart too. They'll work for Him if they get saved. And you say, well, that's a bigger crowd than what we got here tonight. Yeah, it might be. Don't discourage me one bit, because there is young people in God's house tonight that want to work for Him. I know there is. I know there is. My brother just younger than Joseph, Samuel, and Jonathan Easley have been on a fast for I don't know how many days now, but God quickened on their heart. We're having revival starting next, not tomorrow, but the next Sunday. God quickened their heart about 2 weeks ago, said, fast for me until the revival. And they laid down the forks and the spoons and pushed back the plate and haven't taken a bite since the Lord said that. Now tell me that there's not young people that want to work for Him. In that day, saith the Lord, I will make a signet. I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee. Hey, it may be the last days, and it may seem like everything's going downhill, but God's fixing to raise up a generation. He is raising up a generation that's going to work for Him. Hey, it might be the third generation, but I want to tell you something. Even if I am the third generation, I still want to work for Him. It may be all doom and gloom for me, but I still am going to work for Him, because He made me a promise that if I'd work for Him, He'd reward me. He would reward me. Young people have got to be able to be used. You know, today, a young person, by the time they are 13 years old, are more perverted in their life today than young people 10, 15, 20 years ago were by the time they by the time they were 21 and 25 years old. I know that as a fact because I work in schools. I walked up to a 6-year-old just a couple weeks ago. I asked him how he was doing and he cussed me out. I said, my God. I just asked him how he was doing. I talked to a teacher a little later on and she said, that's got to be a devil walking in his shoes. I said, yeah. But I want to tell you something. God is not through working with young people. God is not through working with young people. Let me tell you what God chooses. Tell you what God chooses as instruments for Him. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25, it says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. I want to tell you, young person, it may seem like you are not a very good speaker. You may not have the words to say every time. It may seem like every time you open your mouth, all you do is make a fool out of yourself. Hey, but let me tell you, just let God get a hold of your life. Just let God put something in your heart. He'll put words in your mouth that you can say. Hey, I used to not be able to witness to a person worth nothing, and I still can't do it without God's help. But I tell you what, one day I told the Lord, I said, God, I cannot win a soul without your help. And He said, no, you can't. Every time before we go out witnessing, every time we try to spend at least 2 hours in prayer. I know that's not enough time. I know it's not. And we don't get to do it very often. But I told the young people here a couple weeks ago, the Lord laid a burden on their heart for the most wicked part in Idabel. And I said, well, if the Lord laid it on your heart, I'll go with you. So four of us guys got together. We went over there, witnessed to about 80 people probably. Only got two to come to church, but that's two. I mean, if we wouldn't have done it, there wouldn't have been any. God wants to use the young people today. Hey, don't let your weakness, overrule you. If God tells you to do something, just lean on Him. Just lean on Him because God never makes a mistake in His choosing. Never, ever has God made a mistake. Tell me Moses wasn't perfect for His children. God chose him. Led the children of Israel. Joshua, he was chosen by God. You just look at the ones that God chose. Their rulings, the time that they led, God blessed. The ones that were put in office by man, their leadership went down. I'm telling you, when God chooses, there is no mistake. You know, as I'm talking about us being instruments for God, an instrument cannot be played without a master. It can make no noise. That guitar is not going to make a noise unless someone picks it up. We've got to be, as an instrument of God, totally and completely 100% yielded to the master. I know this may not be high, but I want to tell the young people that if God chooses you, let Him do the playing. Let Him do the strumming on the strings. The music that comes out, the tone that comes off the instrument when the master plays is going to be to perfection. You know, an instrument that's used, an instrument that is played, Has to have a little tuning up every now and then also. Needs a little polishing up here every now and then. What am I talking about? Tuning up? That's when you change the oil, you know? That's when you pull out the Word of God and you refill your heart. I'm talking about keeping your heart and life in line if God chooses you to be His instrument. You've got to make sure that everything is purified, sanctified, and under the blood each and every day. That's what I call tuning up. And you know what? It's not a once every 30 days, every 2 months, every 3 months. No. It ain't going to work. The spark plugs will foul out a long time before then if you go that long. It's got to be every day, 2 and 3 times a day, if you live in the town that I live in. Wickedness on every street corner. And if you ain't careful, the devil will trip you up and he'll have you back in his clutches if you don't tune up. If God chooses you, make sure that you choose Him every day of your life. If you're tuned up, polished up, in the Master's hands, doing exactly what He wants you to do, being a willing instrument for Him, you'll put the devil on the run every time. Ever since August the 1st, or right around in the end, ever since then, we have had so much better services in our church. It has been a 360-degree turnaround from what we was having. I guarantee you, we was having good services before then. But God has moved just because He's seen some willing vessels. He's seen some people that He chose choose Him. God is not going to forsake. He's not going to just choose you and then stick you on a stand and leave you there all alone. He's not going to do it. He'll keep you burning. He'll keep using you as long as you keep Him in tune. I want to tell you something, young person. If you'll keep Christ before you, Christ behind you, Christ above you, Christ below you, Christ on the right, and Christ on the left, that puts you right in the center of the will of God. That puts you right in the center of the will of God. Make sure that everywhere you go, you got the cloud in the front and the fire behind you. Because if you don't, you're going to be destroyed. I'm telling you the exact truth because I've seen it happen time and time and time again with young people that have been saved and backslid. What happened? They forgot to put Christ on the left. Hey, that was their weak spot. They thought they could leave Him, you know. They thought they could have Him all the points except for one. But no, it didn't happen. It wasn't 6 weeks later and they was back out in sin. I want you to know it's going to happen every time. It'll happen every time. Hey, it's happened to me. You think you know something more than Christ? You try to push Him out of the way. You try to get ahead of God and you're going to fall. You don't know where you're at. You don't know where you're at. So don't step out of Christ. Don't step out of the center of Christ, because you may move Him on the left side and there might be a cliff there that you're fixing to fall off of. Don't get out of the center of God's will. And the things that God will do through you will be so much more and beyond than we have ever seen in our life. Hey, why did revival happen back in the old days? Why did revival happen? Why does revival happen now? People fall on their face before God and say, God, I'm coming back to You. There is nothing I can do without You. There is no way that I can live my life without You. There is no way I would want to live my life without You, Lord. Get me back in the center of Your will. Get me back where you want me to be. Get me back where I'm supposed to be if you're going to choose me. Oh, keep me in the center of your will. I'm finishing up. If there's anything that you remember from my message tonight, I want you to remember this. Make sure that you stay in the center of God's will, and you'll be an instrument. You will be an instrument that has never been heard. There has never been anything heard like before if you stay in the center of God's will. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen before, and I want to see it happen again in young people's life. Hey, not just in your life, in the young people here, but in my life. I'm not saying that I haven't ever got out of the center of God's will. I have. But I want to challenge myself tonight more than any other person in this building. Stay in the center of God's will, Nathan. Stay in the center of God's will. He'll use me. He'll lead me. He'll guide me. He'll show me what to do. He'll show me the path to take. He'll show me the path not to take if I'll stay in the center of God's will. Young people, please accept the challenge. Be an instrument for God.